Seek after the Lord in the word and be open to him. May the Lord renew our mind, because our mind needs renewing. Without the renewing of our mind, it's very difficult to understand. Don't trust in our fallen way of thinking. Remember what the Lord says, his thought is higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. So we need to be open to him, and may the Lord grant us a spirit of wisdom and understanding. So I hope that all of us will build, not according to our own concept, but according to the Lord's revelation, and humble ourselves before him. If we don't humble ourselves before the Lord and trust in our own understandings, then we will miss the goal. And all these verses in the outline is just to prove to every one of us that God's building must be according to his specs, his specification. Remember, you're building not your church, but God's dwelling place. Right? Just like we wrote here, Adam and Eve is the first picture, a great mystery, talking about Adam, right? Eve comes out fully from Adam, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. That is a wonderful picture showing that everything in a church life must be the Lord himself. It's none of us. This is why we need to practice putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Right? Because Colossians chapter 3, verse 11 says, in this new man, Christ is all in all. Nothing of ourselves and nothing of our fallen being, but Christ is all and in all. So everything that is not Christ doesn't belong to the church. Right. So we don't want to bring anything that is not of the Lord into the church life now. And remember, if we do that, the Lord is going to judge us. Remember the warning of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Right. If we build out of wood, hay, and stubble, everything is going to be burned. And if we damage the temple of God, God will destroy us. If we destroy his church, he will destroy us. So this is a very serious warning. So we need to learn to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is very important. Fear God. Remember, and I always repeat, Isaiah chapter 11 to the saints. Right? Because we always forget. We want revelation, we want spirit of understanding, we want his counseling, we want his strength, and we want the knowledge. But the last point is the most important point. It is the fear of the Lord. Because if you don't fear God, then you will do everything or anything according to what you want to do. Now remember, we are building God's house. Right. So we need to do it God's way. And being a priest, We need to experience Christ in everything, in your family life, in your personal life, in your church life. We need to experience Christ, like Paul says, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. We need to experience sitting with Christ in the heavenly and don't appreciate the world. No, we are a heavenly people. The only thing that came down out of heaven from God is Christ. And Christ is not just Christ. Christ is everything to us. He's all and in all. Remember in Colossians, again, also in chapter 3, right, in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We're not just receiving a Savior. We are receiving through Christ all the fullness of God, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And the wonderful thing about a priesthood is that the Lord will reveal himself to us. This is why we are bringing the best offering to God. Remember Malachi, okay? Remember Malachi. In chapter 1, God rebuked the priests. You know why? Because they reserve the best for themselves and bring what they don't want to God. The best lamb they reserve for themselves. And the lamb that is not perfect, they give it to God. So God was angry. Yeah. He says, if I'm your God and if I'm the Father, where is my honor? Where is my respect? Why do you keep the best for yourself and give me the things that are common, you don't like? And God told them, well, try to present what you presented to me to your governor to see if they will be happy with you. So God was angry. So when we bring an offering to the Father, we must bring the best to him. The best of the best. The firstborn of all the cattle, God says, belongs to me. The first fruits belongs to me. The best of the best belongs to him. How dare people say you don't need to bring offering to God? Well, who are you to say that? God says to Moses, remind my people at the appointed time to bring my food to me. How can we say, no, you don't need to do that? We don't need to bring the offerings to God. And God told his people before they even entered into the good land that when you enter into the good land, the first fruits you must bring to me to Jerusalem, the firstborn of the cattle, everything, what I want, the first fruits must be brought to me, belongs to me. You cannot eat it at your home by yourself, not in your own garden, not in any place, but you must bring it to my house. Right? To the appointed feast. Are you keeping the feasts of the Lord? The feasts of the Lord, is that important to you or not? But a strange thing is, all of a sudden today, I mean, not today, but nowadays, in the last few months, all of a sudden Christians are beginning to talk about The feasts of the Lord. Amazing, isn't it? They're talking about the seven feasts of the Lord. Well, they're talking about it, but we are enjoying it. We are keeping the feasts at the Lord's temple. I don't know about you. What about in Vancouver, George? Are you learning to keep the feasts of the Lord? Yeah, wonderful. The Feast of the Passover, Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost. What about the trumpets? What about the Day of Atonement? Now, at this time, for the 1st of October, the Jews are keeping the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. So are we keeping that feast? We are keeping the reality of that feast. To be fully reconciled to God. Of course, our reconciliation is through Christ. I don't know if some of you remember. I'm not sure. Maybe George will remember because we went through Leviticus, right? The seven feasts. You remember in the Day of Atonement, the two lambs, George? And one of them is called Azazel. Remember that? The scapegoat. George, you remember? In Vancouver? Ah, maybe you forgot. No, it's very important. That is the most important thing in the feast of the Day of Atonement. Yeah, there are two goats. One is for our sin offering, which is good, and the other one is called the Azazel. It is not killed, but the high priest will put all of our sin upon this lamb, right? And then someone will bring that lamb to the wilderness and send that Azazel, that scapegoat, away, never to return. And nobody knew where that goat will go away, will disappear to. It's good not to know, right? You like to remember your sin every week, every day? Ju-chan, you like to remember your sin, what you did? Oh yeah, I argued with my wife last week, and every day you think about it. No? Or I did something wrong, and every day you think about it. No. Our Lord is the scapegoat. Send away, you don't know where, never ever to return. It's really wonderful. We need that. It's the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. And it is one of the most important feasts. It is in this time of the feast that a high priest, once a year at that time, during the Old Testament days, once a year, only in the Day of Atonement, that a high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies to make the atonement for the sin of the people. But praise the Lord, Christ is our great high priest. And even today, according to Hebrews 10, we all, as the priest, could enter into the Holy of Holies. Can you imagine? This is really wonderful. It's a wonderful privilege. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4 says, enter with boldness to the throne of grace, which is, of course, the Holy of Holies. It's very important, a wonderful feast of the Lord. Anyway, yeah, I'm not going to get into that. But I just want to encourage you all. Don't do anything without Christ in the church. The church is very exclusive. Exclusively Christ. Gold, silver, and precious stones. No wonder in Revelation chapter 21, John saw no temple in this holy city. What? No temple? What does he mean, no temple? Have you ever thought about it? No temple means what? No temple means the temple that John knew in Jerusalem. The Lord says it's going to be fully destroyed. Because our concept is the temple is okay, what we know today as the church. But there, the real temple is God, and the Lamb is the temple. Wow, it's amazing. So, what is the church? What church are you building in QC? In Chun Chun. So remember John chapter 1, talking about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, and then the Word became flesh, right? John 14, the Word became flesh and tabernacle amongst us. Wow, that means the Lord Jesus is God's tabernacle with man. So, in the book of Revelation, that holy city, when it comes down out of heaven from God, and which is the bride, the Lamb of the Lamb, I mean, the wife of the Lamb, coming down out of heaven. The whole city is the tabernacle of God with men, with the nations that were ushered into the new heaven and new earth. They're still the nation, right? But we are this wonderful holy city, finished, fully built, the masterpiece of God. The tabernacle of God with man. And that tabernacle, that temple, is God and the Lamb. So, what are you building in Thailand? I see the Thai translation there, right? Yeah. What are you building in Phuket, in Bangkok? Now, if the Lord enlighten the eyes of our heart and we see what the building of God is, we have to fall down and say, Lord, forgive us, save us, enlighten us. It'll be so awful if the Lord comes and the church that we are building will be burned up. Aren't you afraid of that? Aren't you concerned about that? So it depends on how we are building today, with what material. Paul says, let every man take care, take good care. How he builds upon this foundation. What are you building? What are we building? Hard to say, right? Hard to say. So, Adam and Eve, the great mystery. And then the church. In Ephesians chapter 1, everybody talks about a church is the body of Christ, okay? It's good to say the church is the body of Christ. Right? I think all of you have heard that, have you? The church is the body of Christ. But what is the body of Christ? It is the fullness of Him who fills all in all. It's not just the body of Christ. The body of Christ must be the fullness of Christ. The body of Christ must be Christ Himself. Right? The body is your fullness, right? The body of Christ is the fullness of Christ. Are we filled with Christ? We have to be filled unto the fullness of God. So, what are we filled with? In Vancouver, I see the saints here in Vancouver. Do you have the feeling you're filled with Christ, filled unto the fullness of God? Wow, praise the Lord for the body of Christ in Vancouver. Amen, George. Peter, is Peter there? Everybody talks about the body of Christ, but nobody talks about the fullness of Him, of Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ, in that we should be apprehending Christ together. The riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ, so that we can be filled to all the fullness of God. That's the church. That's the definition of the body of Christ. You have to go from chapter 1 to chapter 3, right? Yeah. The church must be filled. And then you go to chapter 5, must be glorious, must be without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle, holy and without blemish. Must be bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. It's the great mystery. Is that just a doctrine or knowledge for us? Or are we in reality building such a glorious church? Yeah. Yeah, Chi Yu Ti Shong, right? Brother Tan, we know each other for so many years, right? Are we building such a church? Have we ever thought about it? Have we asked the Lord, as the great heavenly high priest, to come and inspect us? If we take a look at Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the Lord, as a great high priest, he's not just taking a walk among the golden lampstands, right? No, he's the chief inspector, the chief builder, to inspect to see if the churches are according to his standard. So, what was his. Yeah. What was his report about the churches? Was he happy? Does he have good things to say about most of the churches? Good things to say about Pergamos? What about Laodicea? What about a church in Ephesus? What about in Sardis? What about a church in QC? What do you think the great high priest will say about you when he inspects us? like an inspector and give a report. Maybe we never thought about it right. But in Revelation chapters 1 to 3, it's the great high priest walking in the midst. What do you think he is looking for? So we have to realize the building is not simple. It's not according to what we want. We better repent. We better seek after the Lord to ask Him to forgive us and to ask Him to give us revelation to show us what He wants. And we have to change. Tell the Lord, we want to change. Don't have much time, but there's still a little time to change. But if we still don't change and just to stay the way we are, then what can the Lord do? The Lord will not force us. And the very fact that the Lord is a great high priest walking in the midst of the golden lampstands right in the very beginning of Revelation. He's not talking about the world, he's talking about the churches, because the churches is in the heart of the Lord. He's the great high priest. What is the great high priest concerned about? He's concerned about the golden lampstands. The lampstand must be in the holy place. And who is serving there in the holy place? It's the high priest and the priesthood. And I want to remind you again, in Revelation chapter 11, the Lord told John with a golden reed to measure the sanctuary, not the whole place. The Lord says, don't measure the outer court. It's left to the Gentiles to be trodden. So only the holy place and the Holy of Holies will be mentioned, measured. God only wants that place. He wants that place. And then only those who worship there in the holy place and in the Holy of Holies will be measured. The rest will not be measured. Those who are outside in the outer court, they will not be measured. So the question is, who could enter into the holy place and even the Holy of Holies right today? Because the door, the veil is now open to us, right? So who are qualified to worship there? And how does the worship look like? It's the priesthood. And who are qualified to eat the showbread? It's not the food outside in the court, in the outer court. It is a special showbread, the food for the priests. It's a priestly food. Do you appreciate that? What are you eating? And only the priest can serve in a golden incense altar to burn sweet incense to the Father that ascended to the throne. That's why the psalmist says, let my prayer ascend to you as incense before your presence. It's not just a regular prayer somewhere. Of course, you can pray everywhere, okay? But to pray before the golden incense altar is a special privilege of the priests. Right. And there you have to know God's will. You have to pray according to the will of the Father. You have to remember what the Lord says. Not everyone who says, Lord, 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 will enter into the kingdom, right? But only those who Do the will of my Father in heaven will enter in. The Lord will not count on how many people did you save and bring to the Lord, and how many people did you preach to the gospel. No, the Lord says, you are doing the will of the Father? Are you doing everything according to the will of the Father? Have you asked him? Yeah. So, even there in the book of Revelation, from 1 to 3, and then in chapter 11, the measuring. Why did God say that? It's the same measuring standard as in Revelation chapter 11. I mean, sorry, chapter 21. So, how do we measure the church wherever we are today? We say we are in Zion, yeah? We say we are for the heavenly city, the holy city, Jerusalem. Are we pursuing holiness? Are we concerned about the glory of the Lord? Yeah. What are we concerned about? Why are we meeting together? In our meeting, in our worship, is that to satisfy the Father? You think singing 10 songs, well, the Father would be happy? Wow, good singing, great, great singing. Yes. You think singing will, okay. I don't think the Father will be against the singing, but will that satisfy his heart? He wants Christ as his food. He wants the best experience of Christ from you. The best, yeah? So if you just have one experience to bring to the Father, that may be the best, but it could also be the worst. Because there's only one. If you want to have the best, you need to experience Christ in different aspects. To labor and to have a view in your heart, a desire to satisfy the Father. Yeah. So, anyway, right, that is the way to reach the goal. The Lord has a great high priest to build according to whatever the Lord wants. This is why the church is the fullness of him who built, who fills all in all. Then, point one, Paul says we have to learn Christ. Unfortunately, we are learning teachings and doctrines because the reality is in Christ, is Christ himself. Don't just learn doctrine. Don't think if you and I, we understand the Bible, then that's good enough. No. To understand is one thing, but to have the reality is another thing. Right. So to have the fullness of him who fills all in all, you have to learn Christ and to gain him and to live him. So what are you learning? This is why all the apostles, they learn Christ not by teachings. There's no school. They learn Christ by being with him. So, to apprehend Christ, the word, I put it there, yeah, katalambano means to lay hold of Christ. To lay hold of Christ effectively, to grasp, not to let go. Right? Not to lose it. If you gain something precious, you don't want to let go. Remember, we have a thief, a terrible thief that wants to steal something from you. And what do you think they want to steal from you? The riches of Christ out of your heart. Yeah. So to apprehend Christ means to lay hold of him, to do everything you can to gain him. Not just once in a while, not just okay, right? It's just like you doing business, you want to make money, right? But what is money? Money is nothing. It'll fly away sometime. One day, like the scriptures said, money will grow wings and all of a sudden they're gone. Yeah. So here, but you have to gain Christ, to apprehend Christ effectively and don't lose it. And don't think you'll gain enough. Nope. Nope. It's just a little bit. Today, like Paul says, we can just apprehend in parts. But whatever we can gain, we're going to gain him. I don't want to let go, and I don't want to think, okay, I know enough. No, I don't know enough. Paul has the attitude, not that I have already apprehended everything. Not that I'm already perfected, but I pursue after. Paul didn't give up. He didn't think, okay, I'm already an apostle, so I know everything. No, he says, not that I've already attained. This is always our attitude. Don't think you know enough. No, don't think it's good enough. No. Right. To grasp. Hold fast, don't let go. This is what Paul told Timothy. Hold fast what you have. And what the Lord also told the church in Philadelphia, hold fast what you have. Because there's always someone who wants to take it away from you. We have a very professional thief that goes around to steal, right? And to kill. And then to be built up as living stones into a spiritual house. Okay, did it stop there? So, what does it mean, a spiritual house? It's not a physical place, it is something spiritual. Meaning to say, if you're not in spirit, you cannot build his house. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us we are being built up into a holy temple in the Lord, and this temple grows up into a wonderful temple in spirit. It's only in spirit. It's the spirit of truth, spirit of life, spirit of reality. So without this spirit, how can we build up a spiritual house? And then not only a spiritual house, but a holy and royal priesthood. Zion is both the city of the living God, of the great King, and also a holy and royal priesthood. Yeah, it's written. Where do you think Peter got that? He got that in Exodus chapter, what? Chapter 19, right? Verses 5 and 6. Yeah. So don't think it is a small thing. The whole church is a royal and holy priesthood. You know, many years ago, I was invited. I was in Bangkok. And in one afternoon, I was praying to the Lord. Lord, why don't you raise up some brothers like Paul and who has the capacity for the ministry of the new covenant, like in Second Corinthians chapter 3. You know, when I prayed that, you know what happened? I want to testify to you, this is the truth. I'm not lying to you. The Lord rebuked me. I thought, well, what did I say wrong? And the Lord told me, and what makes you think that that is the way to build up the church? I woke up, so to speak. And that is when I fully realized what the Lord wants is the priesthood, not somebody so capable to hold a conference, to give good messages. We went through that many years ago, and what happened? Where is the building that God was looking for? The Lord wants the priesthood, that everyone can approach the Lord and can experience Christ as such a riches of Christ. Whether we are some fingers, we are not a big, you know, shoulders with power. No, everyone, 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, everyone can bring the riches of Christ according to the measure of the grace of Christ to God. But we're not doing that. We are expecting a preacher, a pastor, a speaker. You think God needs our message? You think God needs a choir? Oh, there are enough angels there. I think they can sing better than us, right? Don't you think so, Sudan? Well, of course, we have not heard the angels singing, but certainly their singing must be wonderful. Right? Because the shepherd even heard the singing of the angels. I wish I was there to hear the singing of the angels. What does God want from us that the angels cannot do? And the angels are just looking at us. I dare not say they are a little bit envious of us. But we are bringing such wonderful gifts, wonderful food for God. The best. All the offerings. And who are we who dare to say you don't need to bring an offering to God? Or some even said, oh, what do you need to bring to the church meeting? You can even bring an offering to God when you're taking a shower, when you're driving the car. Who says that? Where is it written? And it has to be during the feast meeting. And when is the feast meeting? Forgive me for speaking like this, you know. I'm speaking with pain in my heart. Yeah. It is not simple, right? The holy and royal priesthood. And then what is the book of Hebrews all about? What is the main point in the book of Hebrews? Paul, the writer, says the main point is we have such a wonderful, great high priest who has entered into the heavenly tabernacle, not made with hands. Well, what we are building today, and it can only be built with hands, with Korean hands, with Filipino hands, with American hands, Canadian hands. Because all we have is man's hands. But no, we have the spirit. How come we don't build with the spirit? I hope that the fellowship will cut through your heart. Because it's not just what we want, it's what God wants. And He has been waiting for 6,000 years. No, sorry, for 6,000 years. He has been waiting. Do we have the same feeling for him? Right. 素云啊，你里面的感觉怎么样啊？And we think we are okay. May the Lord forgive us and save us. And be merciful to us and grant us abundant grace so that we can make it to the goal. Yeah, even in Myanmar, right? Sema, yeah. Okay, Brother Sema. Yeah. Praise the Lord, yeah. Right. Okay, then point C. We still have tomorrow, right? What time is it now? Oh, am I over time now? Do I still have time? Oh, Quezon City. Do we still have time? Yeah. Now 6 to 7:30 now. Okay, I still have time. Yeah.
We still have 10 minutes.
Okay, good. To 9 o'clock, so I still have some time. Yeah, 15 minutes about. Right. And then let's just quickly go to point C, otherwise we won't finish. Yeah. Coming down out of heaven from God. And in the outline, it says, our only source of heavenly supply for the building of Zion. Do you have any other source? Yeah. Anybody can recommend me an additional source? George? You have a better source in Canada? Canadian source? What source? Singaporean source? Filipino source? Made in China? Made in the USA or made in Germany? No. All that we need comes from above. And we only know one source that came from above, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else came from above. I don't care how capable, how wonderful, and whatever, impressive. If it's not from above, it's no good. Because all of us are from below. There are only two men in the eyes of God. Right? How many men are there? Two men. Very simple. First man, Adam. And the second man is Christ from above, heavenly. First man, Adam, is earthly, earthy, from the earth, made out of clay. And the second man and the last Adam, so there's only two men, is from heaven, heavenly. So what are we? What is our source? From the first man or from the second man? From the first or from the last Adam? Which source do you want to use? Yeah. You want to use Myanmar source? Filipino source? Chinese source? Tarlac source? Source of Mindanao? Taiwan? Made in Singapore, is it better? No. Coming down out of heaven from God. That is the only source acceptable to God. Nothing else is acceptable. Yeah. This is why the church must have a heavenly standard. The way we fellowship right now should show us to have a godly fear, right? To serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Fear what? Fear that we are doing things according to our own hands. Remember, God does not dwell in a house made by man's hands. Acts chapter 7. Stephen said that. The God who created the heavens and the earth. God says, I made everything, so what kind of a house are you going to build me? The God who created the heavens and the earth and everything does not dwell in the house made by man's hands. That is why Hebrews chapter 12 says, the day will come and is coming that God will shake everything that is created, everything made by man's hand, so that only what cannot be shaken will remain. So if the Lord shakes the church in QC, what's going to remain there? Yeah. What do you think? What about if the church in St. John is shaken? Well, today in this world, the Lord is shaking everything, you know. That's what the Lord says already in Haggai, right? In chapter 2. Once again, I'm going to shake not only the earth, but heaven. Not only the heaven, but the earth. Everything is going to be shaken. Even Cebu is shaken, right? Everything man-made is going to fall down. Everything of this old creation is going to be shaken. That's what the Lord said. Everything is going to be shaken. Only what is not shaken will remain. So, with what material are we building today? You sure what we are building today will stand God's shaking? This is why we are having this fellowship in the book of Revelation, because only that wonderful city built with these heavenly materials seated as this holy and glorious, and with precious stones and gold and pearls, and cannot be shaken. Okay. May the Lord impress us. QC, you have to build an unshakable kingdom there. Amen. Agreed? No? I don't hear anything there from QC. I think it's because the Zoom is not functioning properly. But I believe you all agreed, right? Build an unshakable kingdom in QC and in Clarín. Okay, Julius, praise the Lord. Now you know how to build. Go through the word in the outline, every verse go through and pray it. Pray over it and tell the Lord, we want to be holy and glorious. Are you pursuing holiness? Even perfecting holiness in the fear of God? Because if you don't have the fear of the Lord, everything can go. You can do anything you like. But if you're perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord, in the fear of God, then you wouldn't dare to do just anything. So let us all learn to pursue holiness. Because only then can we see God. Okay. And last point I just want to mention is that I still have 8 minutes. Great. I want to be on time. Don't think that Peter, when he mentioned about a priesthood, he used this adjective, the holy and royal priesthood. Holiness is very important for the priesthood. And where did Peter get that idea? In chapter 2 and also in chapter 1, be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord God, right? Where did he get that? He gets that from Leviticus. And why is it called Leviticus? Because it is a book written by Moses for the priests, for the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe. And there, God emphasized at least three times, be holy is a command. Because I am the Lord your God, am holy. Three times he said this, and many times he said, be holy, be holy, be holy, because there is no such thing as unholy priesthood. You're disqualified. That's why one of the main things that a priest must teach the people is to distinguish between what is holy and what is unholy. What is clean and what is unclean. This is the job. And the truth must be all the time in their lips. Yeah. Don't speak nonsense. Don't tell people, don't practice the priesthood. If people say that, be assured he is not a priest, okay? That expose that he is not a priest. And some people may say, oh, in Revelation chapter 22 or 22, it just says his servant must shall serve him. So if we serve the Lord as servants, that's good enough. But unfortunately, they didn't read the word carefully, because his servants will serve him. The word serve is the Greek word for a priestly service, not the service of a slave, but a service of a priest. The Greek word latreo means to serve as priest, not to serve as a maid or not to serve as a servant, just doing some chores, not to serve as a slave, doulos. The word douleo is to serve as a slave, the general word for the word service. Yes, we are all, of course, servants of the Lord, but this word is a special service of the priest. Anyway, take the word of God seriously. Seriously. Carefully and with a seeking heart. Ask the Lord to give us wisdom and understanding and a spirit of revelation to know Him, to experience the truth. Yeah. So it's not easy. And in Malachi, since we're talking about Malachi, then God's special covenant with the tribe of Levi is very special. It's not just the new covenant, so there's a very special eternal covenant of life and peace. This is God's special covenant with the tribe of Levi, so that the Levite will bring the offerings to God in righteousness. You'll need to read Malachi, okay, and get into it seriously in the light of the priesthood. If we all care for the priesthood, then read the word in Malachi.